Lord, you are the all-time undefeated champion. You conquered death. You paid our penalty. You are the King, name above all names. Those here that have lived a week in frustration, in darkness, in depression, I pray that you will bring your light to them now. Expose our dark places. Replace darkness with your light and your presence. Here in this moment, we pray this in your name. Amen. Well, good morning. I wanted to start this morning with somewhat of a morbid question to start a sermon with. And so bear with me, because your minds are going to run wild, okay? It's a what-if question. So, what if you knew or had knowledge of, get ready for this, how exactly you would die? Ooh, I heard that. Think through that for, we're just going to pause a minute. Your mind's going to run wild. All of your fears are coming true right now. What if you knew exactly how you were going to die? Now, raising kids when they were little, my wife was a professional in telling me how my kids would die. Professional. Mark, don't let them play with that or they'll choke to death. Mark, don't let them climb up that high in the tree. They'll fall and die. Mark, don't paddle them out so far into the ocean or they will drown to death. Mark, why are you letting them eat that kind of food? They might die. And so she was a professional at telling me all those things. And she would claim that the reason my kids are still alive is because she was there. And she says, you know, the reason why Noah and Haley are alive is because of me. And she also throws out the dog. The reason why Jack, our dog, is alive is because of me. I beg to differ, but we're not going to argue that point today. So what if you knew how you were going to die? What if you knew that the way that you would die is by being mauled by a bear, okay? Now think about that. If you knew that you were going to die by being mauled by a bear, would you ever go hiking in the woods, yes or no? No. Some of you don't do that anyways. So I want you to take a look real quick at this video. Just look at this quick little video here. Whoa, I just unlocked so many fears in this room. And some of you probably had conversations with your friends. It's like, I think it'd be really cool to go camping. And now you're staring at each other and saying, never. Living room in my house is camping enough. But would you ever go camping if you knew that the way that you would die, method of death, is being mauled by a bear? Now, here's another one. This kind of affects me a little bit because you know that I love the ocean. What if you knew that the way that you were going to die was by getting eaten by a shark? Would you ever go into the ocean, yes or no? Probably not. If you knew that, you probably wouldn't. So take a look at this video. It has no sound, no jaws, sounds, or anything like that. But just take a look real quick at this video. Nothing scary here to watch. Just take a look. No sound here, but hello. Oh, Oh, what happened? Oh, hello, what are you doing in my house? Yeah, so scary stuff. Would you ever, I just unlocked another fear. Would you ever go into the ocean if you knew that the way that you were going to die was by getting eaten by a shark? No, probably not. So here's another one. Let's say you have a buddy that you go out. You say, hey, let's grab a cup of coffee. You get there on time. Your buddy comes a few minutes late. They look like they just woke up. And they walk in. They sit down at the table. You order their coffee for them already. And you're both sitting there, and you see your buddy has like this really stressed out look on their face. And they're like, you won't believe the dream I had about you last night. What was it? Oh, my goodness. It was so vividly clear. I mean, it was really realistic. I had a dream about you last night that you died. What? How did I die? Well, it was nuts. You got on an airplane. And when you got on the airplane, it just down. It was a crazy dream. And your friend leans back, takes his little cup of coffee, says, so how was your week? What do you do with that? If you heard your friend had a dream like that, what's your comfort level of getting on a plane the next week? Probably not good, huh? You're a little uncomfortable with that dream, aren't you? It's not real. Just want to let you know. But common sense would that if you knew how you were going to die, you probably wouldn't go about those places. So if you knew how you were going to die, when you were going to die, would you live your life any differently than you do right now? Probably so. You would avoid certain things, but your purpose may become super clear. So Jesus predicted his death to his disciples 3 different times. He knew how he was going to die. He knew he was going to be betrayed. He knew when and where he was going to die. And bizarrely enough, he continued to walk towards his doom. He didn't avoid it. He walked towards it. If we knew how we were going to die, we avoid it. Jesus knew all of those things, and he continued to march towards it. So we already covered the first time that Jesus had predicted his death. Last month, we talked about it briefly. The first week of what was last month? August. And then we also talked about it. Pastor Juan touched on it too, but it's found in Matthew chapter 16, verse 21. And Jesus, for the first time, goes and he tells his disciples that we must go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man is going to suffer many things at the hands of the elders and the chief priests and the teachers of the law. And he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. And so Jesus, for the first time, predicts his death to his disciples. Peter didn't like that at all. He says, no, that won't happen to you. No, we will never let that happen to you. He was disturbed by the thought of what Jesus was saying. And Jesus looks at him and he says, get behind me, Satan. Get behind me. For you do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns. It's the first time Jesus predicts his death. Second time Jesus predicts his death was right after what Pastor Juan talked about last month. And there was this crazy mountaintop experience, and it's titled The Mount of Transfiguration. And there is this crazy scene that took place, and only Peter, James, and John were up there to see what was happening. And they saw all of this that was going on. They saw Jesus turn into like a glow stick, and they're like, what in the world is going on? And then as soon as they hear the voice of God, Peter, James, and John fall face first to the ground, and the Bible says that they were absolutely terrified. They come off the mountain. The disciples were trying to cast a demon out of a young boy, and Jesus cast this demon out of this young kid. And then the very next thing is he pulls his disciples aside, and it says, when they came together, in verse 22, chapter 17, when they came together in Galilee, he said to them, the Son of Man is going to be delivered. Everyone say that word delivered. A little bit better in the back row. What is it? Say it. Deliver. Good job, front row. Back row, you fail. So the Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of man. That word delivered is kind of curious because this is the first time that Matthew uses it. And literally means to give over. In other words, there is an exchange that was to take place. Matthew uses this word 9 more times in Matthew 26 and Matthew 27 to talk about the betrayal of Jesus. So you are hungry, you get onto Uber Eats onto your app, you order your food, and they what? Deliver it for an exchange. And so Matthew wanted to make it clear that the emphasis was not just that Jesus would die and suffer, but that someone would become a traitor and turned against him in order to bring about his death. Jesus already knew, and Matthew described that word very specifically, that he was to be betrayed. And Jesus knew that ahead of time. The Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of man. Jesus is already priming the disciples for what is to come. And in the next verse, he says, they will kill him, and on the third day, he'll be raised to life. And then the very next words are very revealing to what was going on in the minds and the hearts of the disciples. And the disciples were filled with grief. At the sound of that, they were filled with grief. The disciples did not hear the good news. They only heard the first part, but not the second part. He will be raised in 3 days, guys. But they were filled with grief because the bad news overshadowed the good news. It's crazy how we do that. I don't know if anybody has ever come to you and said, I've got good news and I got bad news. Which one do you want to hear first? I always go with the good news. So it's like taking your car to the mechanic. And I have taken, Deborah and I have taken our cars to the mechanic many of times. We have, if you ever see us driving around in a 2011 GMC Yukon XL, it's a prayed-for car, but it's also a paid-for car. And we call every mile we get out of it as a miracle mile. And there's all sorts of funny things that are going on with it. When you press on the pedal, it does some funky stuff. And so we never drive it out of Orange County. And so we keep it within the county, and it is definitely a prayed-for car. But we've taken it to the mechanic many of times and other cars as well. And so you take your car to the mechanic, and then you hear this. Well, Mr. Eames, I've got good news, and I got bad news. And I'm like, all right, let's hear it. Well, the good news is that Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah. The bad news is this going to be $3,000 to repair whatever needs to happen to your car. What do you hear louder? Well, Jesus is Lord is pretty awesome, right? Yeah, I agree with that, but man, $3,000. Are you kidding me? It's crazy how we hear bad news and it overshadows the good news. This is exactly what was going on with the disciples. The disciples only heard the first part. And they just couldn't get over the hump that Jesus was going to be. They could not comprehend what Jesus was saying. Jesus would be raised on the third day. Jesus knew how he was going to die. He knew that he was going to be betrayed at this point, but yet he was still marching to Jerusalem because that was his final location. The third time that Jesus predicts his death is here in Matthew chapter 20, verse 17. It says, now Jesus was going up to Jerusalem. He knew that going up to Jerusalem meant. He knew that his end was coming to a close. So he's going up to Jerusalem, and then on the way, he took the 12 aside. And I wonder what they heard when they listened to the detail, because Jesus took them aside and he said to them, verse 18, listen to the detail. It hadn't happened yet, but listen to the detail what Jesus shares. We are going up to Jerusalem. The Son of Man will be handed over as an exchange. He's going to get betrayed. Did that happen? Yes. Handed over to the chief priests and the teachers of the law. Did that happen? Yes. And then they will condemn him to death. Did that happen? Yes. It was an illegal trial, by the way, according to Jewish law, but that did happen. He will be condemned to death, and then they will hand him over to the Gentiles, the Romans. Did that happen? Yes. He was mocked? Yes. He was flogged? Yes. And then he was crucified? Yes. All of those things happened, and then he says the good news. And on the third day, he will be raised to life. Incredible detail. Now, I realize in a room this big, there are probably some of you who have questioned the legitimacy of Jesus being the Son of God, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And it's okay to question that. Just keep digging. Don't just question it and go do your own thing. Dig. Because this is incredible detail, and there's an author by the name of John Phillips, and he commented on Jesus predicting his own death. I'd love to share this with you, so listen to this. It's crazy. So in his statement, this is John Phillips, Jesus piled up detail after detail in an awesome display of divine foreknowledge. What is that? Jesus is saying, something's going to happen to me. It hasn't happened to me, but this is how it's going to happen to me. And he's telling them before it happened to him that it's going to happen. Is that confusing enough? Divine foreknowledge. According to the law of compound probabilities, I won't explain that here, the chances against a prediction coming true increase enormously with each specific detail added to it. And of course, the more unlikely the detail, the more unlikely the fulfillment. Wild. We usually skip over these incredible details that Jesus is saying, this is exactly what's going to happen to me, and they exactly did do that. The chances of that happening is crazy. It's just like all the messianic prophecies of the Old Testament. All of them came true. Over 300 of them. Things that were said that would happen actually happened. There is legitimacy and proof in Scripture. If you ever question who Jesus is as Messiah, the Son of the living God. So Jesus knew his purpose. And as painful as it would be, he did nothing to sway from it. Jesus started predicting his death in Galilee through Jericho and onto Jerusalem. You want to know how many miles on foot that is? 70 miles. 70 miles from Galilee through Jericho into Jerusalem. 70 miles Jesus could have delayed the inevitable. 70 miles he could have deterred and gone a different way. 70 miles he could have redirected himself. But he kept moving towards his death. nothing would stop him. Jesus knew that his mission as Messiah would lead him to the cross, and he kept walking towards the cross, knowing how he would die, knowing who would betray him, knowing where and when he would die. He kept going to the cross. Through his death, let me just explain the core of the gospel. This is so easy. Core of the gospel is so simple. The gospel is the whole story of Jesus. The power of it, the core of it, is that through his death, Jesus paid the penalty of your sin and my sin. We deserved it. He did not. And he gave himself as a sacrifice for you and me. On the cross, he did that for us. Through his resurrection, he conquered death. That's really good news, because what that means, he's undefeated. And what that means is he can grant you and me eternal life for those who place their faith in him. Jesus looked down the barrel of death, and he saw you in the future, and he said, bring it. Bring it. Pull the trigger. Please do not overcomplicate the gospel with legalism. This is what sometimes religion does. See, the goal of Satan is to distort the character and the nature of Jesus. That's his job. All the good that Jesus throws out, Satan distorts it. And he wants to minimize the magnitude of what Jesus did on the cross and coming back to life on the third day. And all you have to do is to place your faith in him. Now, for some of you, this next statement might sting a little bit. Because for years, when I was struggling towards Jesus, I went about it the only way that I knew how. And that was through obedience first. Legalism. The only thing stopping you from fully surrendering your life to Jesus right now in this moment and in every decision that you make every day, the only thing that stops you from fully surrendering your life over to Jesus is that you believe a lie from Satan. If I had time to sit with every single one of you one-on-one, it'd probably take 10 years, and you were to go through every single struggle you had of why you don't want to give your whole entire life and decisions and being over to Jesus Christ, if we start to peel away, we would come up somewhere embedded in there is a lie that you have believed from Satan. Every single time that I chose not to follow God, it was because I believed the lie that Satan threw at me. Every single time. The gospel is simple. Jesus died and was resurrected. That is the power to defeat every lie Satan throws at you. There's a song. We're not going to sing it unless I want to give Pastor Justin a heart attack. But there's a song that I've been putting on repeat lately. Powerful lyrics that I believe are pretty prophetic in our time, exposing the lies of Satan. And it's a song by Brandon Lake called Adoption Song. Man, you should listen. If you have believed certain lies that the devil throws at you, this song exposes so many lies. Listen to the first part of this song. It says, I renounce the lie that I don't measure up. I renounce the lie I'm unworthy of your love. And when shame comes knocking and fear starts talking, I will lift up my hands in your presence. You remind me who I am. You're a child of God. What's stopping you from surrendering your whole entire life and being and decisions and your everything that you are? What is stopping you from 100% diving into Jesus? Regardless of the consequence, what's stopping you? Big decisions should be made during this last song. It's your time between you and the Holy Spirit to make a decision. Am I truly 100% surrendered to Jesus in all that I do, in my work, in my family, in my community? Am I 100% surrendered to Jesus? What's stopping that? Jesus knew how he was going to die. And because he desires relationship with you, he gladly chose death. And he would do it a billion times over just to have relationship with you. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I know your spirit is stirring in the hearts of everyone here. Lord, for those who are extra stubborn, break down those walls. For those who have many other questions, even if they don't have every answer, break down those walls. And Lord, perhaps the toughest part of the group are those who sit here complacent, who are just okay and comfortable with their walk with you. Lord, break down those walls and help each of us to 100% dive into relationship with you, because you chose death and you came back to life and you would do it over and over again, even though the one time is good for all. We thank you, Jesus, for choosing to walk towards death. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.